Finally, a report from the Commission looking into the financial crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media headquarters in St. Paul, Minnesota this morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Democrats on the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission say the crisis was avoidable. In a report being published today, they blame regulators, bankers, politicians, and credit rating agencies. Let's get reaction now from Simon Johnson, former chief economist of the IMF. He's with us this morning from the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Good morning.
How are you?
Great. So this report from the FCIC says the financial crisis was avoidable. No big surprise there. Is there anything that caught your eye in what you've seen so far?
Not particularly. I think it's a good report. It's pretty balanced. And it does say that the regulators were responsible. And of course, I would add, they've not fixed the problem since then.
All right. Well, this was supposed to be like the report, the official report that came after the Great Depression. But a lot of people think that this report has come too late because financial reform already passed. What do you think?
There's a fantastic book on the Pecora hearings, the 1930 hearings, by Michael Perino, right, called The Hellhound of Wall Street. And if you go through there, you see it was much more prosecutorial. There was much more revelation of sordid details than we've got this time around. And, of course, the legislation followed the Pecora hearings rather than preceding it, as in this case. So I'm afraid we're probably going to have to come back and do more reform again.
And Simon Johnson, finally, you're in Davos, Switzerland. There was just a call there today for less regulation on financial firms. Is it just a parallel universe over there?
Yes, I knew it was a parallel universe and I wanted to observe it, but I'm just shocked by the temerity of these bankers. Not only are they showing no remorse, they're saying, oh, that was all that regulation that you've introduced or tried slightly to push on us is irrelevant or bad or dangerous and damaging, and you should let us out of our box now. And the rest of the Davos elite seems to be buying into this. It's quite extraordinary and rather disturbing.
Simon Johnson, former chief economist at the IMF, thanks so much for talking with us this morning.
My pleasure.
Well, President Obama promised in his State of the Union address this week that America can win the future. We'll check in on that promise next year. But right now, let's check in on something else he said, something he said in last year's address. He said he wanted to double U.S. exports in 5 years. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports now on how things are going.
Thanks to strong economic recoveries in developing countries, U.S. exports rose 17% during the first 11 months of 2010. John Murphy at the Chamber of Commerce says trade is the one bright spot for companies right now.
The U.S. consumer is struggling with debt. The housing crunch has also sapped demand domestically. That means that you're pretty much left with foreign demand.
To encourage more exports, President Obama called on lawmakers to approve pending free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and Korea. But those deals are stalled in Congress. Clyde Prestowitz was a trade official in the Reagan administration, and he says over time, Congress has grown skeptical of the economic benefits of trade agreements.
In the wake of each one of these deals, the U.S. trade deficit has gotten bigger, and the U.S. job creation has not been what was projected.
Plus, labor unions worry that freer trade with emerging markets will undermine salaries and working conditions in this country, and some companies resist competing with waves of cheaper imports. With opposition like that, the president may have to reach his export goal without new trade agreements. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are moderately higher across Europe right now, up about 0.33% in London, 0.67% in Paris. Japan's credit rating has been downgraded by Standard & Poor's because of high debt levels there. The yen dipped against the dollar on the news, but then recovered somewhat. On Wall Street yesterday, we stopped just short of 12,000. The Dow jumped 8 points to close at 11,985.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
From the real economy to the growing virtual one, Facebook is now requiring all app developers to use Facebook's own credits system when selling virtual goods. So if you want to buy a new pig on Farmville, for instance, you pay with credits that you buy from Facebook. And Facebook takes a 30% cut. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports now from Silicon Valley.
Justin Smith just published a report on this industry called Inside Virtual Goods.
Our estimate for the size of the U.S. virtual goods market is that it will hit $2.1 billion in 2011.
Smith thinks more than half of all these purchases will take place on Facebook. So by forcing all game developers to use its own virtual currency, Facebook will collect $300 million in fees next year from U.S. consumers alone. And Deb Liu, who runs this business for Facebook, says social games are just the beginning.
We see a lot of different options for Facebook credits in the future. Right now, social games is where a lot of this virtual economy is happening, but we see new verticals emerging, and we hope new verticals will emerge to use credits in the future.
Think of how much you already buy that's digital, your music, your media. All this could be delivered through Facebook and bought with its own corporate currency. So will the Facebook credit rival the U.S. dollar one day for economic dominance? Randy Krosner, a former Fed governor, doesn't think so.
When it's just within Farmville and people are using it for purchasing and selling cows and nothing more, that's no different than Monopoly money. But if people are actually transferring credits to buy real goods and services,
that's a different story. The Facebook credit could get there one day, but for now, it has its limits. While you can use cash from 15 different countries to buy Facebook credits, there's no way to turn those credits back into real money. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, to Washington, in a high-profile lawsuit, former presidential candidate and current Congressman Dennis Kucinich is suing the congressional cafeteria. Turns out he bought a sandwich wrap, bit into it, and ended up injuring his tooth on an olive pit. His lawsuit says the sandwich wrap was, quote, unwholesome and unfit for human consumption. He's seeking $150,000 in damages. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The biggest landfill in this country is going to be filled to the brim in just 2 years. It's not like we're going to run out of trash by then, so what to do?
You're literally throwing money and energy into a big pit in the ground. There are dollars in trash. Trash is energy.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're talking trash, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.